Hey, Sacktown, you and that beam, you better look out because somebody's coming right behind you. The Golden State Warriors are creeping up in the standings. They start this road trip beautifully with a 128-120 victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm breaking all that down and so much more. What a great way to start the weeks, folks. The week, folks. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You can follow me, Cyrus Sautzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow. Hello to everyone in the chat watching the live stream. And if you're listening to the podcast, hope everyone had a great weekend. Happy Monday, folks. And what a Monday for the Golden State Warriors, starting off the road trip beautifully. It's not every day this season where we start road trips on a happy note, yet so far so good. What up, Rebel? No Cap, Bruce Morrow, Supremacia, Andre, and everyone else jumping in right now. Again, the Warriors win 128-120 in a game that saw the Splash Brothers really be the highlight for this game, for this team. Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson each playing 37 minutes. I'm not stoked on the minute distribution there, but despite that, they lit it up. 38 points for Stephen Curry, 28 points for Klay Thompson on very efficient shooting nights. Steph, 8 of 14 from beyond the arc, 12 of 20 from the field total. Klay Thompson, 6 of 14 from beyond the arc, just shy of hitting the 50% mark, 10 of 21 from the field. Klay and Steph both had, Steph had 8 rebounds and 12 assists to go along with those 38 points. Klay Thompson with a quiet 7 rebounds tonight, and he had that game-closing dunk that really sealed the deal in this game. Jordan Poole, Raymond Hoyt coming out firing against Jordan Poole, by the way, with some criticism here. Raymond, you wrote, quote, "I'm surprised that Kerr tries to close out the game with Poole. His turnovers are killing this team." Well, let's look at the stat sheet for how Jordan Poole did tonight, who started again. And it's important to note that he did close the game out, unlike their last game when Dante DiVincenzo closed out the game over Poole. Tonight, Poole played 31 minutes. He only had 2 turnovers. I don't know where the turnover criticism comes from. He was actually solid in the plus minus, tied for second on the team with plus 10. Not a great shooting night, an okay shooting night, 2 for 6 from beyond the arc. That's 33%, right at the Mendoza line. That's where you want him. One weird thing about Jordan Poole that has not really been highlighted, maybe it should, is that he is the free throw champion, the reigning regular season free throw champion in terms of free throw percentage, but that number has dipped considerably this year. And tonight he only went 5 for 8. Weird. That's really weird. I don't get that at all. In the season, that was free throw shooting percentage, which again last year led the NBA at 92.5%. This year it's at 87%. That does not reflect tonight. So that number is going to dip a little more. But Jordan Poole, I thought he played okay. You know, maybe if you're going to highlight a negative from his performance, and maybe it's not his performance so much, but it's his presence, given the fact that the team oftentimes was getting killed with offensive rebounds. Late in the game, the two teams were tied for points in the paint at 40 apiece. That number at the end of the game ended up being 54-46 in favor of the Thunder. Oklahoma City was getting a lot of second-chance points. Josh Giddey hit a 3. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, remember, hitting a 3 as well in the fourth quarter off offensive rebounds that they collected. So maybe that's the reference in terms of a critique for playing Jordan Poole, is that the team could have used size. They could have been a little bigger out there. And Steve Kerr, again, has this aversion to go into size this year. The why of that, who knows? But he's clearly no longer a fan of playing bigs. Again, the small ball starting lineup continued tonight. And when you look at the team's quote-unquote actual bigs, Kevon Looney played 23 minutes off the bench. I thought he had a solid night. He grabbed 6 boards. Jonathan Kuminga only played 12 minutes, but they were an impactful 12 minutes. I absolutely love the fact that the dog in him is showing itself. And one clear example of that is the fact that he's trying to defend the other team's best offensive player night after night. He took on the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander assignment kind of personally. But again, Steve Kerr, a huge aversion to using bigs. Jermichael Green, a DNP, despite the fact that the last two games he played were fantastic. Patrick Baldwin Jr., who I thought they really could have used tonight, just because, again, 6'10 with three-point shooting that is just outrageously lethal. He's got such a sweet stroke. DNP, James Wiseman, the biggest mystery DNP. Steve Kerr alluded to the fact that maybe Wiseman might be going down to the G League at some point soon. Not being very specific in terms of why he's not playing James Wiseman, but Wiseman once again with the DNP, and Moses Moody, who was called back up from Santa Cruz after, I believe, two games there, one or two. Don't quote me on that. I did not do my Santa Cruz Warriors research on Moody, other than I believe he had 26 points in the one game I did see him play. I don't have a stats for the second one. He was called back up and got a DNP. The why of that, I have no idea. Now, Rebel Sounds writes, and I think this is a good point, is that Kerr is trying to secure wins. Absolutely. But again, it's just, it should not be this hard for the Golden State Warriors to be securing wins, particularly against teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder. When I read those minutes to you again from this game tonight, do we really want Stephen Curry routinely playing 37 minutes in regular season games? I mean, we're still in January. Do we want Klay Thompson, who is not healthy enough to play back-to-backs, to be playing 37 minutes in regular season games? Andrew Wiggins, who actually looked pretty good tonight. I'm going to play a soundbite from Steve Kerr in just a second talking about Wiggins and how he's finally starting to look like his old self. It's been a few months, at least two, since we've seen the Andrew Wiggins that we're accustomed to, the NBA Finals Andrew Wiggins, the monster on the boards, that sweet a flick of the wrist when he's putting up threes that until coming to Golden State we never saw in terms of the shooting form. We finally saw a glimpse of the old Wiggins tonight. And he played 32 minutes. Draymond Green played 31. Yeah, the Warriors went small. I mean, this was a small ball night, but nonetheless, they came out with the win. So, the one critique again of Steve Kerr desperately wanting to secure that win is the minute distribution. But when I read you the standings, that's where I think you're going to be really stoked. I want to play some sound first, just because Steve Kerr talked about Andrew Wiggins and those minutes, except I thought I had that in front of me. Maybe I don't. Andrew Wiggins was huge tonight, even though there were times where he was out-rebounded. Oh, here we go. Here's Steve Kerr talking about how much he loved what he saw from Wiggins tonight, and so did I. And I think if you're a member of Dub Nation, you have to echo this similar sentiments just because it was fantastic. And the Warriors clearly are going to need Andrew Wiggins if they're going to make a deep postseason run this year. So here is Kerr talking about Wiggins.
Do you think this was Andrew's best game since his 15-game absence?
Yeah, I thought Andrew looked great, athletically, energy-wise. He just looked like himself. He's had a rough go, just between the injury and then being sick a couple of times. He lost some conditioning, lost some rhythm, and had a great practice yesterday. You could see this coming just from the way he was moving and how aggressive he was. And I love the way he played tonight.
Yeah. One thing that he just said there that was a little revealing is that he mentioned a couple of illnesses. We did see that on the injury report. But I don't think it was ever reported that Wiggins was dealing with more than one illness. There was something, that he revealed right there again, that Wiggins was battling a minimum, I guess, of two illnesses. And, anyone who's, at least me personally, if I'm fighting a cold or flu or when I've had COVID, man, I get knocked down for anything, really. So I hope Wiggins is okay. It's good to see him back. When we come back, I want to highlight Jonathan Kuminga and Dante DiVincenzo continuing their incredible run. And I also want to highlight one more time the Splash Brothers. I mean, they completely tore it up. And of course, I'm going to let everyone know where the Warriors are in the standings. I mean, there's a reason why I mentioned the Sacramento Kings at the beginning of the show in terms of them looking over their shoulders, because look out, someone's right behind you. And as crazy as it sounds, it is the Golden State Warriors. But first, I got to talk about Prize Picks. So one of my all-time favorite sponsors, just because I actually use it all the time. I play all the time. And when Brock Purdy went down with that injury yesterday, it killed my Prize Picks. That's the name. That's how gambling goes sometimes. You win some, you lose some. But otherwise, look, it's still fun. And here's another thing I did. I actually played Prize Picks twice yesterday. The other Prize Picks ledger that I had was LeBron James hitting the over on his points and Jason Tatum hitting the under on his points. I think that was from Saturday. So this was a weekend run of me playing Prize Picks. But nonetheless, it's fun. It's easy to play. The whole premise is 2 to 6 players. You're betting over unders. As I just mentioned a moment ago, like Brock Purdy did not come through because he got hurt. So he didn't reach that 216-yard over that I was hoping for. But nonetheless, it is so much fun to play. I'm ahead on the overall season standings. And I've told people this before. I'll tell you again. DM me if you ever want my Prize Picks. I'll happily suggest and advise on what I'm doing with that. Just because, yeah, I haven't had to dip once into my account since I first started playing. I love it. And something tells me you might too. And if you're in California, it's legal here. They don't consider it gambling because it's daily fantasy sports. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Withdrawals are safe and fast. You're not dealing with sketchy wire services. It's operational over 30 states in Canada, again, including here in California where Dub Nation is at, or the most of Dub Nation is, but it's where the Warriors are based. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you don't deposit $100, you only deposit $50, they'll match that too. Whatever the amount is, they will match it. You just have to remember to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100.
Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And once you're finished with me, go check out Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Again, you can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow. What is going on in the chat? What are people talking about? Cover Zero writes, Draymond always dominates Gobert. Absolutely. But if you, I don't know what that's in reference to. I'm sure I jumped into something in the middle of something there. But it drives me up the wall. Anytime I have ever heard someone say Rudy Gobert is even in the same class with Draymond Green in terms of defensive players, it is such a crime that Rudy Gobert not only has more Defensive Player of the Year awards than Draymond Green, but I think what he has three of them, four of them or something like that. I'm trying to look that up right now. I'm going over to his wiki page. Just to see if they can reveal how many Defensive Player of the Year awards. And there it is right there. According to Wikipedia, not the most verifiable source of information, but when you're on the fly doing a live show, they might come and save you like right now. He won the award three times, tied for third most in NBA history. Draymond Green only has one Defensive Player of the Year award. It is an utter travesty that Rudy Gobert gets the acknowledgement that he does as a defensive player, while Draymond Green routinely is disrespected, is underrated as a defender. So I don't know what the heck the conversation was there, but anytime I see Rudy Gobert compared to Draymond Green, it's a button that's being pushed because I cannot stand that comparison. Rudy Gobert is a vastly overrated player in the NBA, and the Minnesota Timberwolves are paying that price now. I don't know who approved that trade, which was atrocious. The Utah Jazz committed pure, unadulterated highway robbery with that steal. So congrats to the Utah Jazz. Congrats to Danny Ainge and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Man, what the hell were you thinking doing that? But Draymond, to me, is a top three all-time defensive player in the NBA. So whatever that argument was going on. And as Falcon 13 Eyes writes, Gobert is sativa, Green is dank. Yeah, sounds good. I like it. So the standings right now, folks, and I'm going to read this. I'm going to enunciate this, verbalize it instead of just showing you the visual standings for all the podcast listeners. And plus, I think you might like hearing this. The Denver Nuggets right now are the number one seed in the Western Conference. No surprise there. They've been battling it out for the most part with the Memphis Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies have been sliding lately. They've lost 5 of their last 10, including just recently at Chase Center, the Golden State Warriors. So the Denver Nuggets are in first in the West at 34-16. The Memphis Grizzlies are second, 2 games back at 32-18. They're 2 games back in the loss column, standard. The number 3 team in the Western Conference right now are the Sacramento Kings. Congratulations, Mike Brown. Congratulations, Leandro Barbosa. Congratulations, Harrison Barnes. Is that all the ex-Warriors that are currently with the Kings right now? Regardless, bravo. It's damn impressive. You're just up the freeway, Interstate 80, to get to your arena. You are our little brother neighbor to the north. Congrats. But something tells me I think the Warriors are going to creep up. The Kings right now are 28-21. They're in third place in the West. They're 5.5 games back of the Denver Nuggets. The fourth seed in the Western Conference right now are the LA Clippers, who at 28-25 are 7.5 games behind the Nuggets, only 2 games behind the Sacramento Kings. You know who the fifth seed in the Western Conference is? I like number 5. I think number 5 is a solid number. The fifth seed in the Western Conference, if I had a drum roll, I'll play that right now, is your Golden State Warriors. They are the fifth seed. They would not be in the play-in if the season ended today. They would be playing a first-round playoff matchup against the LA Clippers if the season ended today. I would not want that. But nonetheless, they are all alone right now with the fifth seed. And that is incredible. I mean, what that largely says is that the Western Conference is in pure shambles this year. When you consider the fact that the fourth best team is only 3 games above 500, but the Warriors, despite all their struggles, despite all the drama, despite all the two-way minutes, they are right now the fifth seed in the Western Conference with a record of 26-24. And they currently have a half game lead over 4 teams. The Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Timberwolves are all a game above 500, tied for the sixth seed. Of course, it breaks down and each team has an advantage of some kind. But and then the Utah Jazz are the 10th seed, and they sit a whole game behind the Warriors for the 5 seed. So that is your Western Conference right now, and it's unbelievable. The Golden State Warriors right now would not be in the play. But they would also face, though, and this is really crazy, if the season ended today, they would have the LA Clippers as a first-round matchup. I would not want that. I would not. I'm sorry. I mean, you have no idea what you're getting with that Clipper team. It might be easy. It might be a sweep. You also might have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George perfectly healthy, and you're dealing with a menace at that point. And then let's say you get past the LA Clippers, then you got the Denver Nuggets in the second round. So I don't know if the 5 seed is the best spot for the Warriors to be in right now, but they're in the 5 seed. It's been a while since they've been that high. Grilled cheese, by the way. No, man, I'm high on life, plain and simple. I also get really tired the moment the clock hits like 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So no, I take this role seriously. But talk to me after the show. That'd be a pretty different story. And Falcon Size 13 or Falcon 13 Eyes writes, the Dubs poop on the West. I poop on you. Who is that? Who's the character that does the pooping thing? Is that a Triumph? Is that who does that? The insult comic dog, who is awesome. In just a moment, we'll wrap things up. There might be some more sound. Short yet very sweet Monday night live episode of Locked On Warriors, where the Golden State Warriors came out with a 128-120 victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road. And again, they're 2 games above 500 right now. They're 5th in the standings. And I want to highlight a few players that deserve a particular a large amount of love in just a moment. First, I got to talk to you about TurboTax because, folks, one of the most brutal times of year is just around the corner, and that's tax season. Look, go to TurboTax right now and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so you can do not taxes. Show your eyes things that are not taxes. Unpack a moving box of not taxes. Taste not taxes. Sing not taxes, but rather a lullaby. Hope not taxes. Sleep through the night. Grab a saddle and ride not taxes into the sunset. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so you can relax. It feels good to be done with your taxes, right? So cut the TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. It's Intuit TurboTax, full service products only, video meeting while the expert does your taxes required. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Wrapping up the show, coming off again, the Golden State Warriors winning 128-120. Stephen Curry accomplished something fascinating tonight. He broke the record for most field goals made by a Golden State Warrior in franchise history. He passed Wilt Chamberlain, who previously owned that record. And here's Klay Thompson talking about that fantastic accomplishment. Congrats to Stephen Curry. And here's Klay showing some love.
And Steph going for 38-12 and passing Wilt Chamberlain in most franchise field goals made. That's what a legendary accomplishment. I mean, Wilt Chamberlain's one of the greatest athletes to ever walk this earth. So the fact that Steph was able to do that and a foot shorter than him, it's special.
Agreed. And that's really one of the many things that makes everything Stephen Curry does so special is the fact that he's doing it at 6'3". You know, I've always maintained, imagine if Stephen Curry had LeBron's body. Like as good as LeBron James is as a player, right? And he'll never sniff Michael Jordan. I'll take that argument up with anyone any day. But imagine if LeBron had Steph's skills. That would be the greatest player ever. Like, without a question. Like, it wouldn't even be close. Real quick, in the chat, Pete Tresso writes, "Where's Bubba?" referring to my English bulldog. He's sleeping right here. He took a crap. My sister's visiting. He took a crap on her carpet right before the show started. Delayed the program by a few minutes. So he's chilling right now. He's doing great. Dennis B writes, "Where's Zena?" I think she's actually might be hosting the other show right now. So, but we'll get her back on soon. She was awesome. So no new news in terms of the trade front. And who knows if the Warriors are even going to pull a trade. In all honesty, if the Warriors continue rolling on this road trip and they come out of this, let's say 2-1, I don't think you see a trade at all. I really don't. Now it seems like, you know, doing the math and you know, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to kind of see some writing on the wall indicating that James Wiseman might be on the trading block. But at the same time, if the team feels great about what they're doing right now, and if the team continues winning games, and if they're fifth in the standings of the West, just a half game behind the fourth seed, just, you know, a game and a half or two and a half behind the third seed, I don't think they're making a trade. Their next game, by the way, is Wednesday. They're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota. Speaking of all the Rudy Gobert bashing I was just doing a second ago. And look, Andrew Wiggins always steps up for those games. Like, that is when he sees the Timberwolves on the schedule, his eyes light up. He's ready to absolutely dominate. So that should be a fun game. And realistically, the Thursday, February 2nd game against the Denver Nuggets might be one of those games where the Warriors decide, Steph, he's got his neck hurt. Clay's going to be out already. Draymond's got his back hurt, neck and back. They might take the Izal route and the Andre Iguodala route and take the night off.
Oh, my neck! neck in my back. Oh.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so I would not expect those guys to show up for Thursday's game against the Nuggets, but so far, so good. The Golden State Warriors, by the way, are now 21-10 when Jonathan Kuminga and Dante DiVincenzo both play. Kuminga only played 12 minutes tonight. Lamb only played 11 minutes tonight. Really low point totals, or low minute totals, I'm sorry. Again, Kerr just went really small tonight. I mean, he started with the small ball lineup. You know, Looney did play 23 minutes, but that was really the only big outside of Draymond who was out there. I mean, the Warriors went with the 9-man rotation, but again, Kuminga only played 12. Anthony Lamb only played 11. Dante DiVincenzo, who I believe had the lowest plus minus on the team, minus 10. That's one of those things with the plus minus, I don't think reflects reality. He had 8 points. Four rebounds, three assists. But again, his defense out there is so clutch. And he makes big shots. He was 2 for 5 from beyond the arc, including one big three that he hit in the game. Yeah, absolutely. Bruce Morrow writes, Iguodala's playing that free paycheck indeed. Yeah, Iguodala, man. I mean, he should just be an assistant coach. He really should. It's kind of crazy. That he is part of the roster. Grilled Cheese writes, so the Caruso rumors are dead now. No, they're just, I would say, on hold. I think a huge reason why the Caruso trade isn't moving along yet is because I don't think the Bulls have decided whether or not they want to blow the whole thing up. If you look at the same standings we looked at a moment ago that saw the Warriors sitting in the fifth seed, the Chicago Bulls, 1 minute they're hot, 1 minute they're cold. Right now, the Chicago Bulls are in the 10th seed. They're 23-26, and they just hold a half game lead over the Pacers and just one game lead over the Raptors. So I don't think the Bulls have fully decided yet if they're going to be selling. But if they do sell, Alex Caruso has been linked to the Warriors. There's now been two reports indicating that the Warriors are showing interest. So we'll see what happens. Wrapping things up. Warrior writes, this will be the last year small ball works. It's Kerr's downfall. We'll see. It's worth noting again that the last four teams remaining in the postseason last year all went small ball. There was not one traditional center starting or playing significant minutes for any of those teams. So I don't know if this is like a temporary thing and it's not going to last. Maybe this is the future. Maybe the small ball Nelly style is how the most successful teams are going to roll. I mean, I don't know. Maybe LeBron James will be a starting center sooner than later. I don't know. JFR writes, and by the way, before you go to JFR, Joe writes, don't need Caruso, JK, meaning Jonathan Kuminga is enough. I wouldn't mind both. You know, why not? But I hear what you're saying. No Cap is asking me to check out another podcast. Yeah, I might do that. Every time No Cap or anyone else ever makes those recommendations, though, I tune to them and I don't hear anything. I'm not learning a single thing. So usually if there's anything important, I will mention it on this show, I promise. But thank you for the suggestion. I'll check it out. And then I saw a comment here I had to read real quick. JFR, okay, writes, am I ready to make a call and if they can win the championship again? No, not yet. Which sucks, but this team is not predictable. They're only 2 games above 500. Not yet. I'll let you know. But I'm feeling damn good about it. But I don't feel like confident enough to make a prediction on it. Anyone else before we wrap things up that needs anything addressing? Kylan Mills will be back with me tomorrow for a full show. Otherwise, I think that's it. I mean, I saw one other stat worth mentioning that I want to bust out real quick. For the first time in franchise history, and the Warriors tweeted this out, the Warriors have had 2 straight games with multiple players tallying 10 plus assists. So in Friday's game, Steph and Dante DiVincenzo both had 11 assists. And then now tonight, Steph yet again, this has 11 assists. I think he actually finished with 12 unless they updated the score sheet. And then Draymond Green had 11 assists. Draymond's been playing some great ball, by the way. I got to give him some love. Very curious to see what happens with him after this season. There's a lot of mystery up ahead for this Golden State Warriors franchise. Makes things exciting, but also makes things a little anxiety-ridden, if you catch my drift. But yeah, JMU, I hope I pronounced that right, says, I agree, Dante is my new favorite Warrior. Ever since Clay came, he stopped chucking up shots. I think what you're trying to say is that since Dante arrived, Clay has been more careful with his shots. I think that's what you're trying to say. And then Howard Drake Pittman writes, I'm with Jacob. Oh, Jacob, I don't know. Okay, the one team I fear is the Bucks. They can't beat the Bucks. I call BS on that. I'm not afraid of the Bucks at all. Honestly, like the only teams in the NBA that I fear a little bit for the Warriors is the Celtics, obviously. I mean, the Celtics are a fantastic team. The 76ers, oddly enough, simply because they've always given the Warriors problems. Embiid always manhandles the Golden State Warriors in that small ball lineup. Embiid's one of the very rare players that Draymond just cannot fully defend. He needs help with Embiid. That's like, it might be the only player I've ever seen Draymond struggle with, honestly. But I don't fear the Bucks, man. I'm sorry, I don't. And I know this is weird, and it's not going to win over a lot of people with a convincing argument, but that regular season game last year in March was all I needed to see. The Warriors easily have the Bucks number. The Bucks just don't have the depth, in my opinion, to beat the Warriors. And when I've seen Giannis play the Warriors have a strategy mapped out for stopping them. They don't concern me. I'm sorry. I'm not afraid of the Bucks. NBA 876 writes, come on, the Warriors are not afraid of the Celtics. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And then Bruce Barr writes, Sixers with a choker, Harden. No, you might be right. But again, the Sixers have routinely been giving the Warriors problems for years. So that's why, look, I'm not ready to give the Warriors this all-out prediction yet, just because they have issues. They have issues themselves. But when you look at the rest of the NBA landscape, I'm very curious to see how the Warriors, even though they're going to be playing the reserves most likely, I'm going to study that Nuggets game a little bit on Thursday just to see what the Nuggets are really presenting. They do have depth. I mean, Jokic, again, Draymond showed last year he can defend him, but that team is a little more depth, so they're a little concerning as well, but the Warriors are the best team. Anyways, I think that's it. We'll see you tomorrow. Kylan Mills will join me. Thank you, everyone. The Warriors, again, 128-120 winners. Stoked on that. Just trying to see if there's anything else in here. And NBA 876 is absolutely right that the Warriors are not afraid of anyone. That is the bottom line. They don't fear a single team, nor should they, right? I mean, why should they? So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Good night, everybody.